I referenced the shared conviction or the Minow Simons, and I want to spend some time in these next few weeks. Next week, I'll continue this. The week after, Ryan Algram is going to be with us, the conference pastor for this district. And then the following week is the week I will, I guess there will be two more weeks after that. So this will take us into July. But one of the things that I want to think about, or that I've been thinking about, is how do we be the church? How are we the church in this place and this time? And for me, the sure foundation that we have is Jesus Christ. As I said, Jesus shows us how to be faithful to God. So that's our basic foundation, is how we understand God's word through Jesus, right? Now, what do we do then with the Anabaptist tradition? The Anabaptist tradition is something that came into being in a time that was also fraught with all kinds of division. There was the Roman Church, and then there were growing tensions throughout Europe that were coming to reject Roman control. And in Europe at that time, and still to today, there are many churches that are state churches. My mom grew, her family came from Sweden. And when they were called the Free Church of Sweden, I forget what their exact name was, but they were a free church. And what did free mean? Does anyone know what free meant in that context? They weren't controlled by the state. So in other words, they were somewhat Anabaptist in many ways, because part of what happened with the Anabaptist movement was that there were more and more people that were responding to and feeling that, you know, the way that the church is fused and controlled and determined by the state doesn't reflect Jesus. So they were seeing that. They were seeing practices that were part of individual sin and distance from God. And they were seeing that the priests, rather than talking about what genuine faith looks like, they were saying, well, for that kind of sin, you just need to pay a little bit more and say more Hail Marys. For this kind of sin, you pay this much, or you give this much, you know? So they were bartering out salvation, and they didn't see that in Scripture. They saw salvation as being tied with Jesus' death and resurrection, but they also saw it as calling us to new discipleship, calling people to reflect the nature of Christ. So rather than, you know, making a deal with God about this blue hair problem I have, you know, so that I can just continue doing it, you know. God said it was okay. Well, yeah, I'm glad at least you had a conversation. And it does match your glasses very well. Exactly, that's what I'm saying. But I'll never quite get the upside down tree. Upside down tree. Oh, but it's right side up. Exactly, exactly. There you go. My point entirely. Okay. So there was all kinds of stuff that was going on. Christians were going to war to defend the state. Christians were involved in all kinds of commercial innovation. We look at some of the backdrop through a biblical story, and then we also share about or talk about this, these shared convictions and global Anabaptism. And so I just wanted to say briefly how the committee that worked on this confession of faith, how they understood what they were doing. They say, how do Mennonite confessions of faith, this is in the intro, serve the church? First, they provide guidelines for the interpretation of scripture. At the same time, the confession itself is subject to the authority of the Bible. So, guidelines for interpretation. So why would they use the term guidelines? Any ideas? Flexible. In other words, they're not saying that they're giving a mandate of sorts. They're not saying, this is what you have to believe. This is what we've come to believe through our study of scripture. However, that only serves as a guideline. And you in Warwick River, you have to contextualize, even in this place, what that means. So that's already an underlying value within Anabaptism, is that scripture is always interpreted within the local context. Now, the whole bishop system that developed in some parts of the Mennonite church was really quite contradictory to that, this basic value, because the bishops always were the final rule. But even there, they tried to interpret scripture meaningfully in the present time. So it's a tension that's built into this. The second thing is, the confession of self is subject to the authority of the Bible. I just read that. Second, confessions of faith provide guidance for belief and practice. So again, it's guidance for belief and practice. In this connection, a written statement should support but not replace the lived witness of faith. So there, the confession is only of value if it's lived out in the context of a community of believers. So that's where we get this notion, part of where we get this notion of believers' church tradition. The third thing they say is confessions build a foundation for unity within and among churches. Of course, right now, within the context of the Virginia Mennonite Church Conference, and with Mennonite Church USA, it's the interpretation of this confession of faith that is really tearing the church apart on several different points. So in that sense, it's not serving its purpose right now. Fourth, confessions offer an outline for instructing new church members and for sharing information with inquirers. So it's supposed to be, the confession is supposed to be a practical tool for sharing the faith. So in other words, the hope is that just in the reading of this confession of faith, people can be brought to faith in conversation with the local community. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school this morning. Fifth, confessions give an updated interpretation of belief and practice in the midst of changing times. And six, confessions help in discussing Mennonite belief and practice with other Christians and peoples of other faiths. So it's not simply a guideline for how we think about the faith for ourselves. it's also meant to be part of the way that we share the gospel with people who come from different faith origins. But again, it doesn't imply that we are to be closed to conversation about the interpretation. In all our sharing of the gospel, we're sharing of ourselves and how we live the gospel. It's belief and practice together. Now I wasn't able to get as far as I wanted to, but I encourage you to look at these for next week, and we will pick up on these and also begin to look at what Palmer Becker has to say in terms of what is an Anabaptist Christian. So I'll stop there.